Monday, April 9, 2018, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02 p.m.
It was 7:00.
They were. Mine had a whole day. Now, one is still ready to throw.
Always ready? We got to get you a $2.
Let's call the meeting to order. We'll stand and say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Huh? Kevin?
Yes.
Sounds not on.
Perfect. Can you hear now? Okay, good. Okay, do I need to repeat that? The current copy of the Open Meeting Act posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom is viewed for everyone in attendance. Call roll, please, Joe. Joan does it all right here. I'm telling you. She's...
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Bill.
Yes.
Okay, full board here today. Consent agenda items. We have the approval of the previous minutes, March 26th of 18, the approval of payroll claims, and then accounts payables, and then also the approval of the chair just signed the gravel bid award contract agreement for prices, and the company's approved on the March 26th, 2018 board meeting. So, of course, I went over the payroll claims, et cetera. Everything is in order. So I need a motion to approve the consent agenda items with D, of course, the chair to sign the gravel bids for the people that I think we just accept them all normally is what we do, and then we use them as needed, correct?
Yep. I move to accept the consent agenda items, A through D.
Second. Can we get a motion by Bill and a second by Tony? Will you call roll, please, Joan, on the consent agenda items?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move into new business here. We got Jimmy Steele, the president of South Sioux City Chamber Commerce, to the Visitors Bureau to update the board on the past activities. And what's upcoming in 2018?
Not much, Scott. I'm going to be real short. Thanks for having me. I can't remember the last date I was here, but probably the biggest news, whatever, I think it was in the fall, is the Marine Inn changing their name to a Delta Hotel and a Marriott. And, you know, they think that with people out on the interstate traveling and all that, that's going to be just a big thing. And so far it has been very successful for them and all that, and for the town area and all that. Our business luncheon coming up on May 8th, where we recognize the small, large businesses throughout the county and all that. That's on Tuesday, May 8th. We're sticking with Cardinal Festival for another year on the weekend of June 8th and 9th. We'd sure like to in the future sit down maybe with Cottonwood Days and other days in the area and do some big celebration, because we just don't get the people for Cardinal Days. Mother Nature doesn't take care of us and all that kind of stuff. And budget-wise for 18-19, coming up in June, I don't see a lot of changes on that. And probably the most important thing is to promote Danish Alps and the Cramper Lake. I have not got together with Scott. He came and presented for our legislature lunch right before Christmas, and me and him have not connected to see how we can kind of promote that even more and get people out there coming and going all summer. So that's it in a nutshell, Scotty. Short and sweet.
What are you guys thinking of trying to team up with the...
Well, yeah. God, we'd sure like to, because the you know, obviously Cottonwood Days, I attended that last year, and they get a lot better attendance than we had it at the Cardinal Festival. And the Cardinal
That's odd, isn't it?
it's, it, yeah, we just can't get people, you know. One thing we're going to try this year that is do a few alumni events. On that Friday night, we're going to have a little get-together in between the two fire departments in South Sioux on that street there, and an invite to all the South Sioux alumni are going out this week or next week. The high school system has hired a alumni coordinator / communication guy, Lance Swanson, and he's going to promote the alumni. So we're going to try, he's going to give tours on Saturday and all that. So,
you know, I remember the Cottonwood days, of course, the first year I worked it, or it was maybe the second year, but, and down along the river, and it seemed pretty successful, I think, with throughout the day with all the activities. And then I do recall them having it downtown South Sioux at one time, too.
Right. And that's been discussed, too.
And that, to me, that seemed like more of a success than having it down along the river.
Yeah, so we'll look at some things.
Yeah, well, good. Well, good luck. If you guys need, if you need any advice, you can get a hold of Tony Gomez. He'll be more than happy to spread his knowledge around.
He knows I'm there all the time.
Right.
I meet you in my parade.
Yes.
You owe me.
That's right. I do.
Either way, anybody have any questions for Jim?
No.
All right, keep up the good work. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to B, approve the a contract between Dakota County and the Civil Engineers of the Contractors of LLC for a survey preliminary for the final design construction, approximately 1 mile paving improvement on County Road M, south of Hubbard, Nebraska. So that obviously is the road that takes us out to the Danish Alps, out to Cramper Lake. I know we all have it in our packet. I know that we see a dollar amount there, but in the actual contract that Kim has, I know we've all got it on an email. It could be a little bit vague there as far as knowing what to expect for expenses. I mean, they show $46,120 not to exceed, but the contract reads a little bit differently. So, and we're budgeted $50,000 to do this project. And of course, we're in a situation where we got to watch every dime. And I just hate to see all of a sudden, you know, well, none of us want to see that they get out there and all of a sudden it becomes a, you know, an $80,000 bill or whatever. So, is anybody here from anywhere that matters on this issue or not? I take it not? No? Okay. Tim, no, Tim? I would think the only thing that we could do, but then again, you know, their contract reads one thing and we could say the other thing, and their contract will probably over exceed our
budget.
What's our thought process here? What do you think? Joan, Kim, you guys have any ideas or how we should go about this? Since the contract kind of reads a little something differently, even though it says not to exceed.
Well, it does have the additional services after that lump sum. So whether or not you need them, we don't know. And then they do list the prices in that appendix, what each person would cost per hour.
Oh, yeah.
If we needed it.
It's basically just shows the non-project operating costs is what could get a person. And of course it goes into all the different types of paragraphs, but if you start getting into obviously project managers and coordinators and engineers, you know, I mean, you're talking a lot of money per hour. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys will work anywhere from $120 to $165 an hour. So
you've got to hit a schedule, and you wanted them to work. If they work longer hours, that's going to come in.
Right.
Was this contract
to do the project or tell us what the project cost?
I thought...
Fred, now, is this something that we want to move forward on, right? I mean, we wanted to get this ball rolling. I know originally they just told us kind of what it was going to cost, but it's kind of what we was looking at, so we could kind of...
This is for a topographic
survey. What I suggest is you take Kim's concerns and talk to them about it, see what their language is in their contract, if it satisfies our attorney's questions. But before you make a decision, I suggest that you at least contact them and ask them about the wordage they use and our concerns.
Yeah.
Maybe they...
Yeah. No, I agree. Like I said, we could sit there and say with exceptions, but that, you know, that ain't gonna work. So basically,
this is for preliminary design, staging and traffic controls, the bid phase, and the construction phase.
Okay. Thank you, Brad.
We might not even get to the construction.
Right. Can I say a word on that situation?
Yeah, go ahead,
Ray. Let me have I'm assuming from what I hear on the street that we have no money to move into any type of a project. Hardly enough money to put a culvert in, not to mention spending $1.5 million on a road. It's purposeless to me to spend any money at all until the time comes when there is money to move forward with the construction of the project. I don't know why we'd want to spend anything if it can't be done for 10 years.
See, this is the dilemma, and this might shed a little light on the topic that you, and I know where you're going with this at, and I understand what you're getting at. As we have sat down with a roundtable discussion with all the different entities, you know, that want to be involved, that are trying to be involved on, you know, splitting the expenditures on this, okay, on getting this thing paved. It ain't like the county is going to take this on their own, because we wouldn't be able to. I mean, we would like to, you know, get, you know, the NRD involved, get the Papio people. I think they're probably going to be one of the bigger, you know, people that want to be involved with this. Like I said, we sat down with probably 5-6 different entities and talked about it. And, of course, the first question is, well, the last question was, after we kind of talked, was, what's this thing going to cost? You know, so, yeah, you know, what's it going to cost, period? I mean, so how are they going to go to their boards and try to figure out, you know, what they can budget or what they can afford to do this? And it might not happen for, you know, X amount of years, obviously, because a lot of these projects are, you know, when you get the state involved, you know, they, you know, or even Papio, they got projects that are 5 years old that they've been, you know, that are planned. So we just want to get the ball rolling to try to figure out what the costs are going to be to get this thing started, so then we can sit back down with these people and figure out who's going to pay for what and who can afford what.
Has there been an estimated cost of what the project will cost when it's complete?
Yeah, we had one time, I think.
Half million.
Half million or 600,000, I think, Larry.
That's only about half.
Well,
I mean, when you look at, I mean, it ain't going to be like you're going to build a 24-foot street up there.
No, I know it.
And boy, I mean, you know, the way tractors and combines are today, you know, it's going to be a major operation. It ain't going to be what you...
You'll have to be wider than North Bluff Road.
By far. I mean, you're probably talking about 40-foot paving.
Yeah. You know, when I go out there, this is kind of off the subject, but I go out there and I'm thinking, why didn't the engineer design that park traffic to come out on the north end by their maintenance?
Yeah, I think
out
by that bridge to it one time.
Well, it just makes sense to me.
It was supposed to come up.
You get away with that hill.
Right.
You go in the back way.
It's
flat all the way around there. It's just a contour. It makes no sense.
And what you decide on today to spend on the preliminary design of this thing or whatever is going to change in 10 years or 5 years.
Well, sure.
It's not going to be the same. So if you say, well, we got $40, $40,000 for you, 5 years from now, it'll probably be $80 or $140. It's pointless to me to talk about it, especially when we have no money. And if I'm understanding the word on the street, right, we're already going to go into next year a million plus short of what we need. You know, I don't.
I got to start hanging out on the streets.
Well, at least get out of the box. I can think out of the box, but you gotta get out of it.
All right, so let's just, we're gonna move on and we'll have, we'll get, Fred, you've originally made contact with these people, so if you would, just tell them that we have some discrepancies with their, and we'll move on to the next and have them get with Kim. Fair?
Fair enough.
Fair?
Yeah.
Okay, where am I at now? Larry has me rattled right now because I'm in the box. I'm in the box.
Rattling around the box.
Okay, here we go. Sophie Vargas.
Not here.
Am I surprised? Am I surprised?
She'll be here in 3 weeks.
Probably.
Okay, we'll move on to the next one then. Amanda Simcoe, welcome.
Hi.
You want to discuss the Federal Home Loan Bank, that FHLB,
yep,
and the Nebraska Affordable Housing Trust? Yes, for Dakota County, excluding South Sioux City.
Yes.
Wow.
South Sioux City's got a lot going on.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. they're in an enterprise zone with the state, so they're kind of in a league of their own when it comes to these fundings. So
I understand.
So we really want to get out here into Dakota County and focus on you guys a little bit. I work all in the counties of Iowa.
Well, thanks for thinking of us.
That's the hope. And what I did was I just kind of typed up the overview of the two programs we're talking about. The Nebraska Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and then on the next page you'll find Federal Home Loan Bank. The Housing Trust Fund, that one requires a match of 10%, and of course I put that all the way at the bottom, but I'm going to tell you that up front. And I know that this year that's going to be like, I don't know, the chance of having 90-degree weather tomorrow. But I just want to be, to have it, to bring it up so that you guys are thinking about it for next year, so that it's on your radar. To know that Simcoe's a partner for you, to work with you on this, to get the applications in, to administer the program, so that we can start taking care of the housing out here in the rural areas of the county. Overall, for owner-occupied rehab, which is primarily what we do at this point, there's over $7 million available between that and home buyer program and housing trust fund. And we're eligible to apply for up to $250,000. And so that would be about a $25,000 match. The hope is to be able to use Federal Home Loan Bank, which is on the next page, to match housing trust fund so that the county wouldn't have to pay anything. That's kind of a housing utopia right there.
Sure.
Federal Home Loan Bank, I am putting together this application and I am submitting it this year for rural Dakota County. We will be asking for $750,000 to do between 15 to 18 owner-occupied rehab projects in Dakota County that would exclude South Sioux City. So we're talking about maybe 4 houses per city. The only thing I need from you guys is a letter of support on that one, but we can handle that later.
Okay.
And then the last two pages are your goals and objectives for housing that I pulled out of your 2014 comprehensive plan. And I just want to make sure that we're kind of all on the same page when it comes to this. I don't know how many of you were here when this was written. I wasn't.
In 2014?
Yeah.
I didn't know it got complete in 2014. I was here. Yeah, it did get complete. I do remember. It took a long time.
It did.
So there's, and this was just out of the housing section, the goals that you guys have already outlined, and that moving forward, if we're approaching that 5-year mark, maybe think about updating your housing studies and your housing plan, your comp plan, just so that you remain eligible to apply. Most grant funds, you have to have your housing study done within 5 years, so you're approaching that mark there.
Your people are in the process of this right now, correct?
Not specifically.
That's the economic development plan.
Okay.
That's separate. That's true.
I know they pumped so much data at us at a short period of time, so I don't really.
Yep. And I don't want to do that today. I just want to let you guys know that we're working behind the scenes. I'm applying for Federal Home Loan Bank to be used here. That program with $750,000, my plan, if we're awarded, is to work it pretty slow so that by next year, we can use what's remaining of those funds to match housing trust fund. So,
what are the odds of it being approved?
Federal Home Loan Bank?
Yes.
With no
I know you
match,
don't have a crystal ball, but I'm just curious.
With no match, it's pretty competitive for those folks down there, but they haven't had a project in this area of the state in so long that that would, I hope, push us up. I know they do stuff in Omaha, but as far as the rural areas like us, they haven't really done much.
Okay.
So, and you guys' Federal Home Loan Bank is out of Topeka, Kansas, whereas in Iowa, I work out of the Des Moines Bank.
Correct.
So there's a few differences there between the two. But overall, I would say we've got a 50-50 shot, and that doesn't help at all in terms of excitement. But I mean, I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to do my try my hardest.
Right, no, I understand. So Nebraska doesn't have a branch, and you're talking Topeka, Kansas, correct?
Yep.
So Nebraska doesn't have a federal home?
No, the way they operate is each of their main banks have branches and they have territories. So Iowa happens to be in the Des Moines territory.
All right.
Nebraska's out of Topeka.
All right,
and there's
fair
like
enough.
Five or six states in each territory.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just want housing to be on your radar, let you know that it's on mine. And if you have any questions or just want to dig around and see what we can come up with for the future, feel free to give me a call. Or just let Nicole know. I know she's working with you guys on some stuff, and Joe as well.
I think it's a good plan, and I guess, you know, we look at our zoning in Dakota County, and it requires currently, I think, 5 acres to build a house in the kind of rural area. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, to me, discourages a lot of building simply because of the cost. Plus, once you get 5 acres, who's going to mow 5 acres? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody has to maintain that. I don't think we could relax that some way, an acre or two, maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, you know, outside the box.
But it's hard to get out of the box.
that's something that the building and zoning guys were talking about at their last meeting.
Yeah.
Was possibly relaxing that down to an acre, thinking that it could stimulate some building out there. Especially in areas like the Bluff Road and stuff where you don't want to have 5 acres up on the side of the hill where you could have a couple of building sites in there. I don't know that there would be any downside an acre. If you have rural water and septic on on a 1 acre lot, it meets all the state's provisions. Yeah.
And then, of course, then your costs go up as well. You know, 5 acres versus an acre.
Absolutely.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
as far as maintaining it, you know,
yeah,
that's always a issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
But thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Like I said, I'm available. If you have any questions or anything like that, just let me know.
You work right out of Sioux City then, right?
Yeah, at Simcoe office.
Great.
I'll get the Federal Home Loan Bank app prepared, and I'll probably bring it back to you guys or send it over just so you can see exactly what I'm doing, because, you know, we want you to be fully aware of what's going on, what the program's going to look like, the requirements for the homeowners who would qualify for the program as well.
I think it'd be awesome.
I think you'd get it done.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Abe. Thanks for coming in. Okay, miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, Superintendent, Highway Road Report.
25th.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. March 25th to April 7th, 188 hours of road maintenance, 3 hours overtime, 24 hours of tree and debris removal, snow removal, 30 hours, gravel haul, 2,400 tons, signs and barricades, 33 hours, road concerns, grading 142nd Street and Ithaca, gravel, Lincoln Way, 250th Street, 270th Street.
That's a new one, Lincoln Way. I don't think I know where that's at.
Cherie,
right outside.
Connelly Road. This is actually the one across the road from there to the south to Watcher.
Okay. A very short way.
They got a bridge on it?
What's that?
They got a bridge on it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Sheriff Lambert?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Month of March, we averaged 90 regular inmates, federal 11. For the year, 86, 10, averaged about 10 federal so far in 18. So federal income with Marshals, ICE, and BIA was $26,304. Fiscal, about $127. Fiscal ICE, that's went up quite a bit. That's $70,000 so far this year. We've got just on ICE. And out of counties is what we're really bringing up. We brought them up. We've got quite a few neighboring counties housing with us now, which is going to change because Thurston County just opened their jail here about 2 weeks ago. So, so all together in 18, 67, 677 for federal dollars brought in, and just county contracts, 13,420 in the month of March, which is good. And down here, we're on budget still, right at 0% over under. So we've caught up, Joan.
For now, right?
For now. Yeah, we booked 156 in March between all the agencies, from the feds to State Patrol, Sheriff's Office, South Sioux PD, and about it.
That's pretty average, you know, and to my recollection anyways, it's pretty average. But, you know, obviously once the weather starts getting good.
We did do our cap surge, was this weekend. I don't know if anybody knows what that is.
What is it?
It's called a cap surge. It's where ICE comes in and they're in the jail, and then all of our new bookings, they go through. Well, this guy that we had to pursue with here last weekend was in the country illegally, had 7 felony DUIs and firearms. And the deputies, the pursuit started over in Sioux City. 2 of the deputies ended up catching him and bringing him into custody. But it just happened to be that weekend we're doing cap search, so they snagged him in seconds. It was a good deal, and I'm glad for that.
He was the catch of the day, wasn't he?
Catch of the month.
Whatever.
Catch of the month. And I don't recall his name, so I couldn't say it if I wanted to.
Perfect.
Anyway, all right. And as you can see, if you look out the window, we got our tower up finally. See it, Joan? It's sticking up above the roof there.
Definitely. You dragging the cables up after lunch here?
Yeah. You'll be helping me with that.
From the ground. Yeah. I'll be pointing and pointing and talking.
That's what FaceTime's for.
You good?
Good. I'm good.
Anybody any questions for Sheriff? Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to C. Here we go. The extension. People here, Marketplace, Space, Joint Project, South Sioux City Library, and Dakota County Extension.
That is correct.
What does that all entail?
Well, we're going to tell you. I actually have a sample box to pass around for you. And then I did bring some of the equipment as well that is inside the library makerspace. And I brought Odessa with me as well. She's a youth librarian at the South Sioux City Library. And just so you guys know, my name isn't Angels, it's Angela. So. Just a little typo. It happens all the time.
Listen, do you notice how I bypassed that?
I did.
Well, and this is the deal. This is the first thing I said. I sent Joan.
Nobody
was like,
that.
I was like, what?
It happens. So but, usually it's my last name.
But I'm sure. But I'm sure you're. But I'm sure you are an angel. Okay.
Well, that's because my mom named me. Right? So what's going on is the South Sioux City Library applied for a grant a couple years ago, and this is a group of 13 libraries across the state. 19 now. Okay. That are getting an opportunity to have a mobile makerspace that's in the library for about 18 weeks. And so we have it going already. It came in March 26th, and it will be there till August 13th. And so we've been working on all kinds of projects, trying to find ways to get the community involved, because it's not only for adults, but it's for youth and anybody in the area that wants to learn a new skill.
Over 12.
Yeah, over the age of 12. But we are doing some programming with younger age kids and some other aspects as well. So there's 3D printers, there's routers, there's a laser cutter, vinyl cutter, all kinds of equipment for them to do. And basically it's kind of giving them an opportunity to maybe try new business, maybe want to market their business that they already have, or just try out a new hobby get a new skill as well. So that's kind of what's going on at the Makerspace right now. And Odessa, you have been in and out of it just today, tinkering.
We've already started taking reservations from the public. You don't have to have a library card. You don't have to reside only in South Sioux. I know that we have that policy with our library itself, but this is open to anybody who walks through our doors. Most of the materials are at very minimal cost through the grant. You can also bring in your own materials if it's been approved to be used on our equipment. And the cost of the running the machine and using the machine is nothing. And so the 3D printer is a highly anticipated used a piece of equipment. We have, I think it's 8 cents a gram is what it costs. So it doesn't cost you anything to come and use the computer or anything like that, just to print on that. The router, the laser etcher, is costs nothing if you supply your own materials. And so if you purchase through us, it's very minimal cost. The grant has been able to fund it, and so that is beneficial. We're also looking for volunteers to help us run the equipment. And so if you want to, or you know somebody who is of age, 18 and older, has to be 18 and older, to come in and run the equipment, you get trained by some of the library personnel staff. A couple of us are fully trained on most of the equipment. So we train you. It takes about 30 minutes on each piece of equipment until you're comfortable, and then we just have you schedule specific times that work around your schedule to help our customers come in and utilize the machines themselves. They take one training class, and then they're free to experiment and mess around with the equipment on their own after that. We have some college students through Northeast in the College Center, thank you, that have already volunteered that want to be trainers as well. And so
it looks like it'd be fun, some of the things.
It is. It really is. I have fallen behind in my day-to-day regular duties because this is a baby of mine, and so I really am.
It's like you're not even going to work, are you?
No. I mean, it's my normal day. I play with kids in color, but, you know, this is an added benefit with the technology.
Laser.
I know. I can use the laser.
Bill, hey, I see here one of your goals.
Yes, sir.
Sewing. Because there's a sewing machine there. You can go around
and sew. Sewing and embroidery, too. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
In your retirement, you're going to start quilting, aren't you? Whatever it takes.
You know, I'm going to tell you, men are usually the best quilters because they are. Because if they have any woodworking background, they are super precise in making sure that seams.
And they're more patient.
And yes. You know, it's really impressive what these machines can do. If you are a sewer, take for example our laser cutter, we'll sit there and cut out your patterns for you through the fabric that you can just take then to our sewing machine, sew them, and then embroider a name on them. And so you can have a fully functioning material project all done in the space of the library itself. Without having to own these $3,000 pieces of equipment.
So the big piece that we're forming right now is it's going to have to be word of mouth that's really going to push this project. So if you have any friends or family members that you know that are in the area that would love to do this, please let them know and spread the word. Joanna, I'm going to use some extra cards here. If there's any staff in the courthouse here that would be interested in doing this as well. So
since we are at specific set times of when you can come in and use the equipment for the people who are helping run the space, there is a way that you can sign up for the classes, one, to be trained, and two, reserve the equipment. The 3D printer can take a couple hours to print a small item. You go either to our Facebook page or the library's website, and there's a little book me now or schedule now button on both of those, and that will take you to our scheduling app, and you'll set up a specific time with the machine.
So if you ever get a chance to go to campus at UNL, they have a huge makerspace innovation campus building that has even larger equipment with the laser cutters and can do larger projects as well. And right. So the hope is that eventually we get a permanent space here
so
in town.
That is one of the goals of the library too. And I was talking to Jim about this at our open house, was to hopefully come through with maybe some local companies that want to help sponsor equipment once our makerspace leaves in August, that might want to sponsor one of these $2,000 or $3,000 pieces of equipment, put their logo on it, and then they're advertising, but then we have a permanent thing as well. Our router right now is the size that it can handle is a 12 by 8 piece of wood. That's as large as it can go. So we have small equipment compared to some of these larger pieces. But for inside the library, it's a pretty useful hobby thing.
Well, thanks for doing it. I'm sure we get used a lot.
Well, that's our hope.
I'm sure it was.
And like I said, it's going to be leaving in August, so that's the reason why we're pushing it now big time so that we can get out and get more families involved.
So far, has it been?
Right now, it's been pretty much library staff that's been using, and then some. You've had some college.
We've had some college kids. We've got one of the simplest machines is our button maker, and we've got an order for 150 of them already, and that was through a kid at the college. I don't know what he's using them for, but...
What do they say?
I haven't asked them yet.
They say love for commissioners.
But if you think about if you guys have to do any of your publicity right or in. Your,
marketing?
Yeah, for you guys or anything like that when you're running up for election or anything. You
can campaigning?
Yeah, campaigning. Okay. You can.
Well, if I would have known that, I would have re-ran. If I'd have known there was buttons involved.
Yeah, you can make buttons. They're only
too late.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that are running, so that would be a good idea.
Yeah. 15 cents for a button. You can use our vinyl cutter, and so you can make your own signs for your yard. Bumper stickers, yeah.
Sure could. Woo-hoo. Sure could.
Look at these guys.
Come on, there you go.
So,
come on, Jesper.
We hope to see you guys, but not only you guys, but a lot of your family and friends out to the library as well.
Sure.
Great.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, appreciate that.
That also introduces a lot of people to that technology, which a lot of the people in the Lakers are going to be using.
In our rural area, that was what these 19 libraries are. They're not Omaha, they're not Lincoln, they're not the large Grand Island libraries. They are small rural. We're one of the largest libraries that was able to have the space needed for it. That's probably why Dakota City didn't. But we had. But they're involved with us. Kathy comes down and she is one of our trainers.
Yep. Very good.
That's really nice. I'm going to leave these for Joan.
All right.
I'm going to have to stop in and check it out.
Yes. So, like I said, it's pretty cool. If you get a chance, get to Lincoln on campus. Check it out, too.
Yeah, because that's where we were trained to impress us down there. But
when the fourth graders or the fifth graders or whatever they are, when they do their Lincoln Day, do they go through that or not?
I don't know if they go through that. It would probably be a good idea. So, and I know that the South Sioux City schools have makerspaces in the middle school as well as the high school.
Yeah, they have the laser printers or they have the printers set up in the library.
Yes.
And a lot of times, 3D printers. So a lot of times if you're there in the evening, they'll be running projects right. on those, and I know that in the tech area they have an engraver too that is pretty cool.
Well, we told them that this would be a chance for those students to use the equipment during the summer months when school's not
very
accessible.
Good.
So it was perfect to be able to get them involved. And I know we talked to the Gateway to Learning School, which is the alternative school, and then visited with them about students that are not getting to some of those classes that maybe they may decide to
that's a great idea.
Choose another business or something
from
that experience.
If you guys want to set up any time to come through and tour the equipment, I'm more than welcome to show you the equipment. If you want more hands-on projects, like I said, designate about 30 minutes per machine. And go through that website, go through our booking website to make sure one of our staff members is available.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, girls.
Okay, next up. What time is it, anyways? We are going to go into 3:40. Okay, 3:40. Now we're going to go into a closed session to discuss health insurance deductibles proposals for upcoming union negotiations. So I need a motion to go into closed session. We got a motion by Tony.
Sorry.
And a second by Bill. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Bill.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Okay, once again, we're going to go into closed session to discuss the health insurance deductible proposals with the upcoming union negotiations.
Do I get to stick around for public comment?
No. We'll handle it. Peace, brother.
We good?
Yes.
Yeah.
No?
We had a gel tour.
We'll do it at the end of the month.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Text me if anything happens, I should know.
All right. Hey, I'll see you at gyms.
Adios.
See you, Brad.
Close the door.
Close the door. The red button, Joe?
No, the pause.
What's that, Bill?
I would move to come out of closed session.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill to come out of closed session.
Second.
And a second by Kevin. Will you call roll, please, Joe?
08.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to E, which we are going to bypass this time around because we are going to do it at the end of our next meeting, which will be the 23rd. We'll do our jail tour, our quarterly jail tour. Okay, we're going to move on to number four, Commissioner Committee Reports.
I don't have any.
I don't think that I do either. Okay, good. Mail emergency business. I see everybody has a little piece of mail there. You're invited to the central annual meeting.
No, that's just me.
That's just me. Oh, okay, well, never mind. Mail emergency business, Nanya. Is there anybody from the public? Okay, and nobody from the public. Thanks for coming, Bill. Okay, so we are adjourned. Our next regular meeting is going to be, like I said, April 23rd of 2018.
And we're meeting at 2 o'clock, right, John?
Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, everyone.